Good evening, this is Ira J. Black. Welcome to this edition of the B&M Houston Symphony Preview. The Houston Symphony has just concluded its subscription season. However, the pop season closes tomorrow evening. Maestro Comisiona himself will be on the podium for a program entitled Romanian Rhapsody. Stephen Akronak is not with us this evening. He's trying to figure out which end of the pan flute to blow through, and that bears some explanation. Our guest this evening will be able to explain better than I. We have with us Catalin Terkolia, who will be playing the pan flute with the orchestra tomorrow evening. Welcome to Houston.
Oh, thank you very much.
I think today, when most people think of the pan flute, which seems now suddenly to be coming into vogue, we think of one Romanian playing the pan flute, Zamfir. Now we know that there are two, at least two, of international reputation, and now we have a chance to hear you play with our orchestra, and it is not that unusual an instrument. It certainly is more unusual than any instrument we're used to seeing, the pan flute. We think of shepherds playing it.
Yes, right. It's quite unusual, and I'm saying that because I used to play violin since I was 3 years old, and I play piano, and after this experience, I can, let's say, a kind of declaration, a statement that it's really hard to play this instrument. And I'll tell you why. Because till now, man's hand never touched this instrument for an improvement. So this instrument is exactly how it was thousands of years before, you know. I mean, no changes in this instrument. For instance, if you take violin or flute or any other instruments, you have improvements of that instrument, right? With this one, no improvement at all.
Not since they played it in on Mount Olympus or on the...
Well, you see, maybe the transparent lake of, furniture, that stuff which brights, you know. Uh-huh. Maybe this is only improvement, but this is nothing, you see. I mean, no boards,
no keys, no valves.
Yes, nothing. Yeah. It's just the pipe as it were thousands of years before.
Now, is that... those are bamboo... pipes.
Right, bamboo pipes, yeah, right. Tonkin pipes, yeah.
What is the... What?
They're coming from Tonkin, China.
Oh, Tonkin, China.
Right. Okay.
And I know, I guess the pan flute I'm used to seeing is the sort... I remember getting one as a gift as a child that somebody brought back from Peru, and it was just some bamboo pipes drilled through, tied together with some straw.
Yeah.
Now, looking at yours, as we're sitting here in your room, it has a curved... I guess it's
shape.
A curved shape, a curved board. Is that a modern advance on it to make it easier to play?
Well, I wouldn't say modern. It's just the shape of traditional Romanian instrument.
Okay, now this is a traditional instrument of Romania, although I know there are other countries that also have similar instruments.
Right, but I can make a statement that it first appeared in the Romanian field because the ancient historiograph Strabon, the very famous one, said that the entire music comes from the source. The Greek took the entire music and structures and things like that from the ancient Thracians. So Thracians were my ancestors. So the first time which this instrument has appeared in Europe, let's say, it appears in the land of, Romania it is now. Okay. You can also find this instrument in China or Latin America, of course, but in different shapes. So if you're talking about the really pan flute, as far as I'm concerned, and as I know, when you're talking about the pan flute, I think the standard one is the Romanian one.
Now, has the instrument always been used the way you're using it today, that is, in classical or semi-classical repertoire? Did it have its own completely folk repertoire and did not cross over into... some of the music we're hearing now.
Yes.
The sort of music that you've recorded, for example.
You know why the reason I choose this instrument? Because I started with the violin and the piano, as I told you before. I choose this instrument because when I was a kid, I listened to this instrument and everybody in, they make traditional music, Romanian music, which is really amazing and very nice. But no one has tried to hit the rock and jazz and classical, field with that instrument. And I asked myself if I could try to hit those fields, you know, of music. And I start doing it.
Well, so far we have heard the pan flute not in the jazz repertoire, which you're using, but in the classical repertoire. More and more we hear more of it, and it is very interesting. And I think it's a strange thing, is that people very quickly have stopped remarking on, oh, that's a pan flute in whatever the piece is. But yeah, now they go past that to look at the music itself. So it's as if it has just ingratiated itself,
yes,
without any problems.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because sometimes the sound, it really becomes like a flute, you know. And they didn't realize how hard it is to play this instrument, which is really improved, you know, like the flute is now.
Well, what makes it so difficult to play?
Well, what's difficult, it is because the instrument is a diatonic one. So you have a diatonic scale, so the any chromatic passages is really hard to do. And of course, you have pipes gathering around, you know, and you have to go to all the pipes to make a scale. So, for instance, if you have the flute, you have only one pipe, and then you have the key, and then you play. And of course, it's difficult, but it's easier than the pan flute anyway. But the pan flute, because it's diatonic scales, things get really complicated when you want to make chromatic passages. And as you know, in classical music and or in jazz, you have a lot of chromatic passages, and so it becomes difficult.
Well, in a way, you're taking us back to the days of the natural horn and the flute before the transverse flute, back to almost even to the recorder, except there it's still the one pipe.
Yeah.
Here you have to play. This is, have you ever played the harmonica? Are you acquainted with the harmonica, the mouth organ?
No, I just, when I was a kid, you know, just for fun.
I was wondering if that has transferred back across the Atlantic from this country, where it seems almost to be a native instrument here.
Yes, it seems.
And the same sort of a thing was that you have to move it back and forth to get to the specific.
Yes, but you can get chromatic on the harmonica very, very easy, you know. But in this one, it's.
Yeah. Really. Do they come in different sizes, or is there just one basic pan flute? I mean, are there tenor pan flutes? Are there sopraninos?
Yeah, sure. Former times, usually the. How can I call the musician, you know, ancient musician, they use only a standard one, you know, which is 20 pipes. But nowadays we're using sometimes 25 or 28 or 30, even 30. And we have all kind of ranges, you know, and we have the bass pan flute, we have the tenor pan flute, we have, you know, all kinds of soprano, sopranino, and.
Mm-hmm. Who would make these instruments now? Are these old instruments as well, or are there not manufacturers necessarily, but artisans?
Yes, there are some architects who are working to these instruments, and there are not many. There are just two in Bucharest, unfortunately, but they're very well known. And I also tried to do something with a pan flute. I want to change a little bit the pan flute in the future, but I don't want to make any statements of that because it's I'm working now.
All of a sudden we'll have a revolution in the instrument.
I hope so.
So you wouldn't even give us an idea as to what you would change?
Well, what I want to change is to make very easy to tune, because if you want to tune the pan pipes, the pan flute, you realize that it's a hard labor because you need the beeswax. And after you have this beeswax, you have to insert the beeswax in the pipe.
Yeah.
And then you have to beat the beeswax inside and to see how the sound how it sounds, if it's too flat or it's sharp, you know, if it's higher. And if it's higher, you have to pull out the beeswax from inside the pipes. And then to see again how it and then if it's lower, you have to insert again some beeswax again, and it goes like this all the time. So after a tuning of the instrument, it takes for 1 day or 2 days to tuning the instrument. It's really hard.
Now is the instrument as affected by, let's say, atmosphere, the way a violin is, or the way most musical instruments are? Do you have to, for example, now that you've come to Houston, do you have to devote some time to taking out your beeswax and retuning the instrument?
No, because it's already tuned very good for the European style and American style. I mean, the orchestra.
So there isn't that much fluctuation in the instrument.
No. But when you first build the instrument and you first tune it, so it really becomes a problem. So I want to eliminate this problem with a special tuning system at this instrument. I want to do that. I hope I excel it. You know.
One thing I'm sure you'll discover, as other artists have discovered, that attempting to go from natural materials to things like plastic doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work.
You still have to use the natural material.
I'll tell you why. Because they try to do this with a glass instrument. They try once to do a glass instrument. They want try to do a steel instrument of the pan flute, all kinds, and it didn't work. Why? Because this instrument has to be built with bamboo and has to be tuning with beeswax. This is an ingredient which comes from a being, you know, bee, whose moment of reproduction has never been discovered yet. And this is one of my points in the phenomenology of the pan flute, which had been written by me in a study of the pan flute, which I published in Romania.
How many, now that you have published your work on the pan flute, do you find more and more people turning to the instrument for its repertory possibilities today?
Oh, yes, and especially in Europe, because in America it's quite a new field for that instrument, you know. But in Europe, people go crazy, really, when we Romanians play, let's say, a pan flute player plays all kinds of music, you know. They really want that kind of music, no matter if there is Romanian or jazz or classical or pops, or no matter.
Well, we'll have crossover music. We'll have Claude Balling write music for pan flute and regular transverse flute, and you and Rampal can play duets.
Maybe.
Something like that. One thing I must say, since we talked before, I asked you where you reside. You say you still live in Bucharest. Is that your English is remarkably good?
Oh, thank you very much. Maybe I did a lot of mistakes, but I'm sure I did.
I guess after learning the pan flute, learning English is much easier.
It's quite
something like that. Well, sure. as we were talking before, Sergiu and Robin Comision are also Romanian, and they have learned their English so well from the time that they've been in this country.
Yes.
So maybe Romanians are more flexible and adept at learning new, unusual things like the pan flute in English.
Yes, actually they are learning English in the school, you know. It's the first language after Romanian.
After Romanian.
Yes, and that's a good thing, I think.
Well, you see, there you have Romanian and then you learn English. For us in this country, we learn English and then we have a choice of a Romance language based on Romanian,
yeah.
Or be what came before Romanian.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing to do now is to invite everyone to come to tomorrow evening's concert at 8:30 in the Music Hall. Now, I already know that if it is not completely sold out, it is almost completely sold out. There will probably be some tickets available, and we certainly do hope that everyone, especially those people who already have their tickets, will come and join us tomorrow evening. We are certainly going to be there. It's not often we get to hear a pan flute play with any orchestra, let alone the Houston Symphony Orchestra, in Romanian music. We'll hear the music of Dinicu and Enescu, among others, tomorrow evening. And to borrow a line from our absent Stephen Actonak, things go better with Turcolia.
Oh,
so, Cătălin Turcolia, thank you for joining us this evening, and we hope to see you tomorrow evening.
Thank you. I hope so, too.
Until next Thursday evening at 8 o'clock, this is Ira J. Black for Stephen Actonak saying, see you at the symphony.